So what we're going to do tonight is, and if you're listening online later, we got a late start tonight with our monthly Wednesday night meal, and then we're going to finish early to go back for dessert fellowship with the kids. So we don't have a lot of time, maybe 10 minutes. But what I want to do is we switch from the book of Ephesians to the book of Philippians. Let's introduce a key word. We're going to introduce a key word that will give you the theme of the book. I was going to write it up on the board, but it's no need messing up Jim's perfectly manicured, clean board for one word. But if I were to mess up this board, I would write the word up here, joy. Okay. If you get on Jeopardy and they ask a question about a key concept in the book of Philippians, you need to answer, what is joy? Because joy is repeated many times through the book of Philippians. And over, Paul is going to encourage the people, command the people to rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice always. So that's why the title in your workbook is rejoice. And that becomes a key term in the book. What I want to do tonight, probably, just do this really quick, is if you do have your book, and I know if you haven't been in here, you don't, but I want you to look at page 12 really quick, and I'm concerned as we go through the books, I don't want us to miss the forest for the trees, you know? And so I want you to always see, how do these different books fit into the 66 books that make up the library of your Bible? So on page 12, if you don't have a book or have your book, this is a chart of all the books in the New Testament. Now, who remembers, before I go any further, in fact, I'll let you have some ice cream cake tonight for dessert if you get this one right. Who remembers how many books there are in the New Testament?
27.
Oh my goodness, y'all. You better be glad Tracy's here, because she just rescued all y'all. There we go. Little clap. Golf clap. Little golf clap. So 27 books in your New Testament, 39 in the Old Testament. And what you can do is take all 27 books and put them into about five categories. I think it's about five we talked about. So Gospels is a genre of literature. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talks about Jesus' life, ministry, death, resurrection. There's one book of history in the New Testament. That's the book of Acts. So everything after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, the birth of the church and the early missionary journeys, getting the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world of that day, you read about in the book of Acts. Okay, Paul takes the trips, starts churches, preaches to the people, evangelizes. After that, the third section is called Paul's letters, or if you want to use a high dollar master's degree word, it's the Pauline epistles. Okay, so if you get into a good commentary, academic resource, they're going to call these the Pauline epistles. It simply means that Paul wrote a bunch of letters. That's all it means. So Paul's letters, and I think there's 13, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 letters that Paul wrote in your New Testament. Once you get through Paul's 13 letters, then you've got 8 that are called general epistles or general letters. And these speak to more of a broader audience, and that's why they're more general in their outlook, and we'll go through those when we get there. And then you've got one book of prophecy in your New Testament, and that's the book of Revelation, which, by the way, this Sunday, I think, is going to be sermon number 56. Remember, I estimated 140 sermons to get through it. So I'm still on track. We're in chapter 11. And so that's about, we're getting close to halfway. So we're kind of on track with that. But if you go back up to the section of Paul's letters and count over, you'll see that we've got Philippians in there. So when we turn to the letter or the book called Philippians, it's a letter Paul wrote. And remember, I told you that to help you remember, after Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay, that's just something I've always remembered. In fact, speaking of master's level class, it was a master's level class professor. That's what he told us. Go eat popcorn. Well, what you talking about? I like popcorn. It's good stuff. And then I learned it's for Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I never forgot it. So if it helps you, good. If it doesn't, forget I ever said it. And that's fine. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We are in Philippians. Now, as another little quick trivia with this, out of those 13 letters Paul wrote, four of those are called prison epistles because he was imprisoned as he wrote the letters. That's going to be Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. So three in a row, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then he writes an individual letter to a guy named, to a guy named Philemon, and that also, it looks like, is written from prison. So four times Paul writes from prison that we know of, recorded in the Bible. The one we're going to look at tonight, Philippians, is another prison epistle. So Paul's in prison, writing the letter. So I want to do this with each book, so you remember where it fits into your New Testament and the storyline of Scripture. So that's on page 12. So now you can leave that and let's go back to the book of Philippians. And I think this looks like it is, let me get my paper straight here. Okay, 281. And I know we don't have a lot of time. I'm going to turn to it really quick. We're going to read the first verse or two. You really don't have to. We're not going to cover much of this. But I like to always look at how the letter starts. Okay, New Testament, first century letters are different than we write letters today. We have some kind of a greeting, dear so-and-so. We introduce it, the body of the letter, sign off at the very end. And it wasn't exactly like that back then. So we're going to look at letters in the New Testament. Gives you the author first, little description who they are, kind of a blessing of some sort. He'll usually include at the start who he's writing to as he does that. So let's read verse 1, and then we'll look at the bots in the book and kind of get a little bit of a start tonight. So book of Philippians starts off and says, as Paul is led by the Holy Spirit, inspiration of Scripture, it's Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Christ Jesus. Okay, that's the author. Okay, that's how it starts. Now, you'll notice that he includes Timothy with him as he writes this. We don't usually consider Philippians to be authored by Paul and Timothy. It's Pauline epistle, but Timothy was very close to him as he traveled about. And he had several traveling companions, and Timothy was kind of like I think Timothy was probably like a protege, Paul's son in the ministry. So Paul and Timothy, okay, we're together. You know what? If you hang out with Paul, you might end up in jail too. And that's what happened to Timothy. Okay, so Paul and Timothy were bond servants. Now, who is he writing to? It is to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. And therefore, we call this the letter to the Philippians. Okay? So, writing to believers in Philippi. Now, he does something really interesting at the end of verse 1 that it's the first time you'll see this in Paul's letters. And I'm not sure he does this in any other letter. I'm pretty sure that's correct, but we'll see as we go through the rest. Yeah, I don't think he does. End of verse 1, he says, I'm writing to the believers, the saints who are in Philippi, including also the overseers and deacons. Now, we don't have time to unpack that right now, but overseer is a synonymous word for pastor. So in your Bible, when you find the word pastor, overseer or elder, they're talking about the same office in the church. We call that pastor today. But in Greek, it could just as easily be the overseer or the elder of the church. So I'm writing to include also the pastors, overseers, and the deacons. Now that is interesting because you don't find a whole lot in the Bible about the office or position of deacons. So in Philippi, it looks like that church may have had a little more structure than the others, maybe a little further along, and they had leadership in place, as Paul was writing, not only with their pastors and their leaders in that way, but also with their table servers. Okay, that's what the deacon means, table server. So with their servants. Okay, so let's just stop there, and we'll start jotting down some things in the blank or blanks of your book for the bots. So from verse 1, makes it very clear, Philippians is a letter that's written from Paul and Timothy. They're servants of Jesus Christ. And then he gives the recipients of the letter as the saints or believers in Christ Jesus. And they're at a place called Philippi. Now, I want to stop there, and we'll put the map back up that we look at with each book, and let's see where is Philippi, and where was Paul, and how does this fit into the story of Scripture. And I may not get through all of this tonight in the next 5 or so minutes, but at least we'll get started. So, in the back of almost every single Bible, you will find a map that looks very similar to this. They will list all three of Paul's missionary journeys that are found in the book of Acts. And as you trace where Paul went on each of his journeys, I know this looks like the spaghetti model for Hurricane Tracker, but it's not. Noah did not create this map, I promise you, with the National Oceanographic Atmospheric Administration. My aunt worked for them for like 30-some years, so that's why I give her a hard time. Anytime the weather's wrong, I blame my aunt. Because she works for NOAA. It's their fault. And you know what she tells me? She said, it's not my fault. I'm the computer programmer that gets the data off the satellite so they can interpret it. They interpret it wrong. That's what she told me. But you know what other people are? Right? 50% of the time and still get paid. All right. Sorry, Diane. She ain't listening. All right. So if we start to trace the journeys, if you look, okay, look up kind of the top of the map. Macedonia in yellow, and that's either Thrace or Thracia. I'm not sure. Depends on the language when you use it. So Macedonia, and then right in the middle of those two territories, you'll find the city of Philippi. Now, notice how far away that is. If you go all the way over to the right, and you see Judea, Syria, and the font is a little bit small, but you go down near Judea, and you see the city of Jerusalem. Remember that Paul took off with each missionary journey from Antioch in the northern part of Syria. So if you go straight up above Jerusalem through the green of Syria, you see Antioch. Every one of the spaghetti model lines starts at Antioch. Because that was a sending church. In fact, I want to say it was Ken Hempel, but there was a president, I think, of Southwestern Seminary. I think it was him. He wrote a book called The Antioch Effect, and he studied the church at Antioch because they were solid and they were a missionary sending church. Okay, so they're all going out from Antioch. That's where Paul is called to go to missions and over throughout the territory. So each journey starts in Antioch. The map labels the first journey with a dark blue color, so you can kind of trace that. It's a shorter trip. They backtrack, come back home. The second missionary journey is the one that takes them to Philippi. Now, I don't have time tonight, so I can't do it. We've got to stop. But I'll do this next week. The context for Philippi is Acts chapter 16. And we're going to look at it next week. Basically, as Paul is traveling from Antioch on the second trip, he gets to that place you see with the green of Galatia, Phrygia. You see the big word Asia. And as he's roaming through that area, he keeps trying to go to different places to preach the gospel, and God wouldn't let him. What is going on? I'm just trying to give people the news so they can be saved and we can start a church. And it says that God would not allow him to go into Bithynia, would not allow him to go into Mysia, different places. And then he got a call from a man in Troas, if I'm not mistaken, and there he saw in a vision a guy saying, come over and help us. That's what led him to Philippi. So I'm going to stop with that, and I'm going to pick up next week, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 16, where Paul ends up in Philippi. And you know about Philippi, but don't realize it. Remember when we talk about in Sunday school or vacation Bible school, the Philippian jailer? Okay, that's in Philippi. And that's where Paul is ministering. And because he's preaching the gospel, he ends up in prison. He's in jail because he's just preaching the gospel. And you know the story, great earthquake, the bars and bolts are loosened. And Paul runs out and says, all right, we're out, right?
God performed a miracle. And then the Philippian jailer, scared to death, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Do you get saved? Does family get saved?" That happens in Philippi. Exact same church. Exact same place.
As the believers that he's writing to in this letter.